Coming up next time, Rider Spotlight.
Hey Barry, it's Al Wilson. As we were saying there, the motorbike community has really been helping me out since I broke my neck last July 17th. So getting close to a year here now, and people want to help me out. I do have a clothing line. It's called the 559.ca. The clothing line on there. We're actually diving into the coffee business as well. It'd be super rad if people could have a look at that website. Anyway, thanks, Barry. Catch you later. Bye.
Check the mic and make sure it sounds right, boy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Barry Moore. My next guest works as an ER nurse. She's a very active volunteer in the Southern Alberta dirt bike community and has acquired many accomplishments in a very short time, including a Western Canadian Championship, fourth in the 2018 Red Bull Rocks and Logs, gold at the 2019 Idaho 100. Currently, she's training for the ISDE. You can find her on her Facebook. And when you do, buy a t-shirt, help her raise money to get there. She's a very early supporter of the podcast, and she's a humble badass. Coming up next, this is Kristen Broderick.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, I have some bullet points, but it's probably better coming from you than from me.
Okay. I guess I'll try. Basically, I'm an emergency nurse. That's what I do first and foremost. But I've been racing in kind of off-road in the Alberta series for maybe since 2014, I think, is when we started. And we started just like at most people. We did like, and when I say we, I'm talking about my fiance, Josh Boland. We started in the club classes with Second Gear Club, and we were immediately hooked, loved it. And we just kept moving up through the classes and trying to get as much of it out of it as we could. And then we got into what was CMRC, is now AMSA, and just kind of enjoying that as much as we can and moving up through the classes. On the side, We've usually been involved with the RMDRA, which is the Rocky Mountain Dirt Riders Association, kind of a land advocacy group, but they maintain all of the single track out at McLean Creek. And it's a great club because most of what it is education and land advocacy and trying to make sustainable trail systems and keep the things that we have, because I think everyone knows we're often fighting to keep it, right? They're trying to move it away. So we've always wanted to be a part of that. Josh has been in it a lot longer than me, but him as the membership director, and he's been on the board of directors for, I don't even know, maybe 6-7 years. And I was a part of it as the club night director. The membership director, club night director, and I really enjoyed that role because it's the stuff that I really like getting people out and riding, trying my best to bring some girls out. I'm not sure why, but sometimes there's some hesitancy, or maybe they're nervous to ride unless there's another girl around. It seems to be what I've noticed over the years, and I've tried to use that as an opportunity to kind of be a gateway. So like, come ride, maybe there's another girl there, maybe a little bit of a comfort level, but then you realize it's not that scary. Lots of guys want to ride with you too, you know? I have a ladies networking group on social media, so on Facebook,
okay,
called the Ladies Off-Road Dirt Biking Group. It is what it is. I named it what it is, but basically mostly Western Canada, but it's a group where girls can kind of come together, talk about those things and not be bombarded by other people telling them maybe
I get it.
What to do, or they feel like a safe environment. you get advice from guys all the time, but they don't always share the same perspective. A lot of the time the perspective is the same, but maybe you're not ready to listen. But then there are a few things that may be different just because of not every girl, but some girls, our physique is a bit different. So sometimes it's interesting to have some, or the way we approach riding sometimes is a bit different. We're not as not we, I shouldn't, I don't want to stereotype, but sometimes you're just not as rough and tumbly out the gate. So having other girls be like, you can do this, maybe motivate that way from the inside, I found a little bit helpful. We do this annual kickoff party every year pre-COVID, which darn COVID, we've missed two now. But they've been great because it's like a gateway again to our season opener. So girls can come out, they can meet each other. We usually get together and do a different activity every year, see people in person, plan some rides, and then they can get out early with some new friends, hopefully. Or maybe people of their riding or similar to their riding speed. So, those I found have been pretty good. They've been successful. I think I usually get really positive feedback. And other than that, we usually give out lots of prizes. I find that the local shops and clubs always want to support women in the sport. So that's always such a positive.
Positive. Even from just a simple capitalist point of view, give some women a few stickers and t-shirts and then one of them buys a motorcycle, like life is good.
It's all you need. You just need someone to say you can do it, I guess. And then I guess with the riding group, what we try to do is emphasize a lot of the local events. And because I'm so passionate about racing, I tend to really want other girls to try it. Cause I'm not a mom and I don't have like a family in that way that I have to sacrifice my ride time. Like I'm very lucky and I'm lucky I get to be so selfish about my ride time. My fiance rides just as much as I do. Like if I don't do the dishes or clean the house, he knows it's cause I went to the track and vice versa. Like we know that that's comes almost first. But there's a lot of moms who say like, oh, I couldn't go cause of the kids go first. Or my husband was riding and I find that racing is such a good opportunity to get out there on a safe track. Now, finally, mom can go out on her own. She doesn't have to wait for anybody, but she doesn't have to feel like they're waiting for her either. And then it's a closed course. There's people there. It's safe, but they can just go and push themselves and just see what they can do. And even if they're not pushing themselves, it's their time to do what they want to do for a bit. So it's like you could take all the competition aspect out of it, which is even though that's the part I love. But for there's that side that I just want, or I hope that more women will get in and experience and try. Because more often than not, they find out they're so much better than they thought.
Every time.
Right?
Hardly anybody's as shit as they think they are. I mean, there are some people that aren't as great as they think they are, but there's nobody that's as shit as they think they are.
No, I think, exactly. So I think I've tried to use it as like a gateway and like a, hey, get in, come try these things. And we'll do clinics too. Like I've worked with Stephen Ford for a long time. He's a friend of mine, but he's also one of the best coaches you could have because he understands so well the techniques that you're doing. And he looks at you as an individual, like what your kind of Achilles heel may be. Like I lean a lot. So he has to approach things from that perspective, or he'll see someone else and he'll pick apart the little thing that they keep doing, not necessarily how, so he can tailor his teaching instead of just saying, well, I know I just learned how to do a wheelie, so now I'm going to teach you how I just.
He knows the material well enough to say it five different ways kind of thing.
Yeah. And he always breaks it down in that way that I have to say, has been kind of the ultimate game changer in my riding other than racing. So because like just having someone break it down and just figure out how you think. Okay. I come from a background of horseback riding and I rode for like 11, 12 years. And I've had a lot of coaches and I've kind of learned what a good coach is. I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but, I found that we don't have too many locally, and the few that we do have, I feel like I want everyone to have that experience. So like Stephen Ford, Shane Cuthbertson, like I always want to push people like that who are such, I talk about having girls, ride days and all of these things, but when it comes to learning, don't worry about who's teaching you, just go to who has experience and who's a good teacher.
Absolutely. It makes sense. Like,
does that make sense?
I mean, what quantifies someone as a good teacher changes case by case, but like the two names you just threw out there, you know, they're basically Southern Alberta, Western Canada, recognize those guys as quality teachers, you know, but anyone who's better than you could be your teacher, essentially, especially in the beginning.
Well, yeah, with some things, but even having someone who really understands how to break it down can teach you a very simple, basic technique. Because a lot of people don't want to work on those things. And I guarantee,
like
Sam King, you could even go to Reese Task. Huge list. But those guys, when you go to a lesson with them, they're still going to bring you back to the basics. And you're still going to get something out of doing that basic exercise. So I think sometimes it's like everyone's so focused on doing these big flashy or not useful in the woods, but kind of cool on the gram. which I mean, still fun, still do it. But they really strip it back and then they work you up to those places. And then when you finally get there, you're like, oh, so easy, but it's because you had to do the steps before. They just understand it so much better. So I don't know. I always want to mention them. I want to get their name in there because I just feel like they need to go and they need to have that experience because it, like I said, it changed my riding so much.
The message I'm getting here, like, is basically that even though you're competitive and race focused, coaching can help you even just in regular riding. Like, coaching's an essential part of the process.
Essential. I don't, if you don't want to race, don't race. But if you just want to ride and feel confident, cause like if every time you go up to a log and you're like on the trail and you're like, I'm so scared, go, yes, you're right. Like some guy, like you go to your friend, if your friend's really good at it, they might be able to break it down for you so that you can do it. I definitely have been lucky enough that my friends have helped me with that. But as the obstacles get more, maybe more risky, where like, they help me understand why, what my bike's doing, what am I doing? And, I just think like, okay, here's an example. Years ago, I went to a Rocks and Log event and I was watching the women's class and I was just like, my mind was blown. I was like, these women are amazing. I can't believe they're doing this. This is crazy. Yep. I'll never do that. That's nuts. The next year I did it.
That's awesome.
and it was literally like, I had a lesson with Steve and he just broke down how to go over logs. And I'm not saying I killed it out there, but I got over every obstacle. Let's go with that.
Yeah. But that's a victory.
Every obstacle I stopped and I was like, oh crap. And then on to the next one. But it was the difference between me getting over an obstacle that I'd never approached before to being able to at least do one lap around the rocks and logs.
Which is huge. Like, and especially in a competition setting, like, it's hard enough to do just as a casual loop, you know. There's always some spot that every time I go through, I just can't seem to like get it. I do realize that in competition, you somehow ride a little bit better than you do casually because like the stakes are what they are and you can't like stop, I guess.
You commit.
You're 100% committed, like, you know, so it's different. But like, I could see how someone like, for instance, just the cut log section in the wagon wheel there. The first time I tried to go through that, I probably started a fire. Like, you know, just, you know, just burning my back tire off. And then
I think everyone's done that. Yeah. I think everyone's done that. They get in there and they just almost blow their bike up.
Yeah. Hit the rev limiter and life is good. And then I was sort of taught by Spencer. He gave me some more advice. Someone else in, like a year ago, gave me some advice. And then Spencer just a couple of weeks ago gave me some advice and his advice clicked with me and it was super casual. It wasn't like it was a coaching moment. It was just like, hey, try this. And, but it's just stuff that he'd figured out on his own all the times he's tried to go through. And then just like, you know, and it's the core of his philosophy, like hit the first log and sort of jump in as far as you can. Cause that's the that's your head start and then go from there. Right. Like, so coaching's significant and I'm not a competitive guy. So like, I do it for fun, but like you were saying earlier, I do it because it is a safe closed course. God knows what's out there, right? Like, they don't tell you. Mm-hmm. They just tell everybody about, like, the one challenge that's going to be pretty crazy and the one hazard that you have to look out for in advance and then have at it, kids. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like I'm paying the race fees for. It's just like someone scouted out this epic track. And then if I fuck up and I can't get out, they'll carry me to the road and I get home easy. Like,
you're still okay. You're going to be
you can be total goon mode. It doesn't matter. There's people protecting you.
Yeah.
So race wise, like, how did you, like, when you slung your leg over the bike for the first time, not yet a racer, headed to the line to become a racer, what were you thinking?
Oh man. So I've always had competition anxiety, maybe a little more so than some others. Cause I always competed my whole life. I used to do show jumping. So horseback riding, I used to do stuff like that. And I used to do Kyokushin karate. So I used to do tournaments in that. So I was always very competitive, but I always struggled with anxiety with it, like heavy anxiety, and a lot of it is just that. I had written off competition almost entirely because I didn't know until I was 21 that I had celiac disease, which basically until I was 21, I didn't know why I was so sick all the time. So I was basically malnourished, but I was still trying to like fight and I was still trying to go to my, you know, do these very physical things, but I was always in a lot of pain.
Okay.
So I had kind of, after 16 or 17, I wrote off competition because for the longest time, I thought I was going to be really heavily into Kyokushin.
Okay.
And I thought we were going to go far with that. I had a lot of really good support back then. And, you know, maybe people fill in my head with things that it just didn't help. So, I wrote it off when I just couldn't handle it anymore, because again, I was in chronic pain. So I couldn't take the hits anymore to my abdomen.
Oh yeah.
But I didn't know why, like I was chronically inflamed everywhere. It just sucked. So, I tried to get back into it when I was 21, didn't work out. And then we started dirt biking a little bit. And then it was actually Josh who was like, let's go do this little race. And I'm like, no, I don't want to, I didn't want to do it at all. I was like, this is crazy. I'm not racing. I don't want to compete anymore. I'm not good at it. I'm out.
How much seat time did you have before your first race?
So I think on average we'd ride like 3 times a summer and I'd be like, yeah, we rode so much.
Okay.
And back then I had this KX250 my dad bought me that was full stock for those summers that like we'd go 3 times and I'd ride this full stock MX bike and actually
off-road, like in the bush.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was super stubborn, still am, but way more stubborn then. And I wouldn't let Josh change it at all. I was like, I got to learn how to ride it as is. I just thought there was something, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking, but, that bike was like rock hard. It sucked. And it was just a chainsaw. So, eventually I let Josh do a couple mods to it, like all your typical mods to make it more of a woods bike, still not a woods bike. And then I think maybe that summer was the same summer that we got involved in the Rocky Mountain Dirt Riders Association. And I had just started riding single track. So maybe, I don't know, like we would go like, hopefully on a good, like if we were on a good roll, we'd go like once a week.
Okay.
So for that summer, that was the first summer we finally were like, hey, let's try this. And then we went to the race. And so, no, I didn't. Like I knew pretty good how to use a bike. I didn't even know honestly that racing dirt bikes in the woods was a thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was all moto.
It's a huge secret. So
huge secret. Yeah. Hidden secret. The best thing ever.
Yeah.
We ended up going to, it was actually, well, I can't remember what it was called. It was like Cooley Springs or something like that. It was like out on this outdoor MX track. With the Second Gear Club, and I lined up to some OGs like Margot and some of the other girls who aren't racing anymore, like Shelby Cooper and stuff. And I just remember being like, holy smoke. Well, actually she was in the class ahead, but either way, I saw all these girls and I'd kind of seen them. I looked into it a little bit and I'm like, these girls are so cool, right?
Yeah, they're badass.
Yeah, and I lining up to them, I was like, I'm going to line up way over there, and I'm not even going to try to go off the start. Like, I thought I was just going to roll off the start line, and I was going to wait, and then we'd go, and no.
I had the same thoughts.
I'm going to chill, I'll wait.
Not
and then as soon as you drop the flag, you're like, ah!
Yeah.
So that's exactly what happened. As soon as they dropped the flag, I was like, I'm going to chill. And then I don't know what it is. It's like you get on the gas and you just don't realize, like, you kind of look around you and you're like, hey, I'm pulling away here. And
yeah,
I'm going to do a little better than I thought I would.
Yeah.
It still felt like the hardest thing I'd ever done, though.
Hands down, it is. The advantage all the seasoned racers, anybody who has one race ahead of you over like someone who's just kicking off for the first time, is they sort of have an understanding of how to use their energy to get through the entire hour, right? Like, yep. Whereas yep. when it's your first time, it's just like full throttle, full send. Adrenaline's got the better of your senses. And
You don't think.
No. One third of the lap later, you're like, holy fuck, this is work.
You're like, have I been holding my breath this whole time?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So how did you do?
I got second.
Oh, gee, that's pretty good.
Yeah, Margo kicked my butt.
That's awesome.
But it was great. And I even remember, like, this is a moto. It was basically like a motocross track. And I remember there's no trees on this one either. Like, of all the, it wasn't even my first like single track race. Okay. It just happened to be one of those one-offs.
Yeah. Showcase race is what I think of them as. Yeah. They go to the tracks to sort of seduce MX riders into the woods so that they can leave bike parts behind.
But I remember stalling my bike and like for, I don't know how many minutes went by, but I just couldn't get that stupid thing started. And I remember being so dead because I was just kicking and kicking and kicking. But yeah, no, it was really cool. It was cool to follow Margo and just see that she was, she races now in intermediate, in off-road, but she was a motocross girl. So it was kind of cool to,
Oh wow. Yeah. That would be sweet.
Yeah. I remember that so clearly, but it was really cool.
Yeah, they fly over the tabletops and whatever. And we'd sort of like roll over them and
like, no, wheels firmly planted on the dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime you get air, it was a full on mistake.
yeah.
So
butt pucker.
Exactly. So racing then from there just like continue to be a good experience, I imagine, because where you're at right now.
Yeah. I think I love that commitment aspect. Like, it forces me to commit. If I'm nervous about something, I'll do it if there's someone behind me.
Okay.
I think I have that mindset where I'm like, well, I'm going to get over it or I'm going to crash.
Yeah.
Also I'm a little bit shorter. So I find that like it forced me to learn how to do that, like more commitment to an obstacle. But I also, I don't know. I like to do, this sounds really weird, but I like to do things that are really hard because at the end, after you've gone through, like, I like to say, like, through races, I've gone through so many times, I've gone through all the stages of grief where I've been like, it's over. I'm done. Oh, I can't do it. Oh. And then you're like, oh,
yeah,
I figured it out. And then you end up being okay. Like, I find that like it's character building. It's, you learn so much about yourself, the feeling when you're done. Even if it's not like, not if you're racing for a position, but even if you went in there and you did something that you hadn't done, or you had that experience, like I said, where you've gone through all those, you got stuck, you fixed it, you got out on your own, nobody helped you. You take that with you, and it goes with you, not just on the trail, it goes with you in your life. I think I'm like notoriously, I'm not a confident person. But when I get on a bike, it's like the only time where even when I'm not confident, I'll fake it. So
I get that.
Yeah. And, I overthink everything and some, even on the bike, but sometimes on the bike, it may be the only time where sometimes my brain shuts off and it's like the only glimpse of nothing that I can ever get. So, I love that part. I obviously love competing. I think the competition side that I really like is like, people can say what they want to say about how good they are, but you're not, until you, there is a barometer, you can go check.
Yeah.
So you can actually go see how good you are. And I think, I mean, you could be the best person in the woods maybe, but racing is its own skill.
Yeah.
And I think like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Basically, I just think like race, Melissa Harton always calls it racecraft. So I'm going to call it racecraft.
Like learning racecraft
is just like another thing that I find really fun and interesting, and it motivates me. Like I want to figure out how to think through that better. And well, the last time I raced, like I did this, and why do I keep doing that? And I keep trying to pick it apart and see how I can do better next time. And it's so interesting how things can play into how your competition life plays out. Like,
yeah.
If you're training well off the bike, if you're mentally doing okay, how's work going? Like, there's so much stuff that, I find really interesting and I enjoy. Even now, like I'm probably 10 years too late, but I find, or more, I'm finally talking to like a sports psych.
Okay.
Because I said, like, I'm sometimes more nervous than others, or I don't handle it as well. And it's been so helpful, to figure out like why I think the way or do the thing I do.
I get it.
So I would even recommend that to everybody. Like if you're doing even, I don't know, I'm still doing it. So I'm still learning, but it'll be really cool to test when we finally get to race again.
That's gonna be weird, eh? Like,
oh, it's totally weird.
All these tools ready to use. You don't even know if they're good or bad yet because they haven't been put to the metal.
No, I actually, like, I'm just going to let race one be a mulligan because race one, I'm probably just going to, it's going to be a gong show because we're all just going to be so excited, but then also so nervous. I just, that one, whatever. that's a write-off. Hopefully race two, I'll get to apply some techniques. But yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. You already know I'm going to be a total shit show. Don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
You're really, when you say you like to do difficult things, you're stepping out of the women's class, hey? Like,
only temporarily.
Okay.
And here's, so on that note, I'm the women's class, the women's expert class is difficult enough.
Yeah, I know. Oh yeah.
I'm actually stepping out to hopefully come back and be a better competitor.
Okay. I get it.
So I'm using it as like, hopefully a tool. I think it'll also add a bit of a fun factor. I've been racing with the same women for a really long time. Like we're a small group and we all moved up together, which is so awesome. Like it's cool that we all did that. But, the things that I struggle with on race day, I can't work on in my class.
Okay.
So, some of that is basically like I get really overwhelmed when there's a lot of people, and I need to get in where there's more people.
You're punishing yourself.
Yeah. Hey, you got to get uncomfortable, right? Yeah. If it makes you uncomfortable, you got to go till you can deal with it, right?
That's fair.
So, when there's a ton of people around or there's lots of congestion, sometimes I just cannot take a deep breath and focus. Okay. And make good decisions, right? So in the women's class, the only thing is that we gap out pretty good. So once you're out there, you're kind of it unless something really bad happens. Like, you know, you really make a big mistake, then maybe you'll see someone, but we gap out pretty good.
Okay.
So I'm going to race in intermediate for fun. Yep. And hopefully to get that really uncomfortable, get stuck in where there's lots of guys around me where I have to like sort it out, you know, like make a decision and make good ones, hopefully.
Okay.
Maybe a little more pressure. I also found like when we went to Corduroy, pre-COVID obviously, yep, for our first real Canadian national, where everyone from who really races came and met in Ontario, and we got to finally race like East versus West kind of thing. It was really cool. But I even noticed like just doing time tests, like having people come up and pressure me, like I was moving over and I was losing so much time. I couldn't believe how much time I was losing. And I'm like, why? So again, how do I fix that?
Yeah.
Right. So I've been working with Shane Cuthbertson, and he kind of put the bug in my ear, and I was like, you know what? I'm doing it.
That's fair. Like so you were saying you're losing time for moving over, because that's like when you're being lapped or when faster riders are coming up, the courtesy thing to do is to move over if they're not in your class, right? And then so when you're making room for other classes, that's where you're losing your time.
Yeah, and usually, and it's not so in the woods, we don't usually have, like, locally, we don't really have anyone behind us that's really bum rushing you. Yeah. But then so for corduroy, like I was saying, those more traditional enduros, you're racing in the mix. So I was in a line with guys who are like men's expert, in front, behind, whatever, and so on, whatever. So I found it, those guys right now, I'm not at that pace. It would be great if one day I could get there, but I'm not. So when they are coming up and they're trying to get through, yeah, I found it challenging. And one of my goals too going forward was ISDE, and there's everyone is probably faster than me there. So it doesn't matter what class they're in, they're probably all faster than me. So I need to get comfortable with that chaos,
yeah,
and hold my race together. Yeah, that makes sense.
I get it. They're like, when I'm out there, one of the weird things is I'm super polite. So like, I love someone who's trying to pass me. They can catch up with me when I fumble on an obstacle or whatever, but then I get away from them. So sometimes I'll just like pull over and let them go so they can get enough ahead of me so that I can't catch them on a fumble. Like, so, but that's because I'm a fucking weirdo, but like, you know,
no, I mean, surely if someone comes up and they catch you, usually they are faster and you should give them a way by.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do it without ruining your race.
Oh no. Like I'll literally just pull over and give them enough. I don't want to catch up to them. Okay. So that's a big deal. And ISDE is your plan.
Yeah. I had quite a few years ago, I made it like a 5-year goal. Little did I know I was going to get asked a lot sooner. I wasn't ready. So 2020, Lee Freiberger, the team
manager
asked me about it, and I was like, hell yeah. Also not ready though, so maybe next time.
Yeah.
So just because the reality of it, it's a very expensive race. It's definitely a once in a lifetime, probably for me, just because of cost.
Yeah.
It's not the kind of racing we do here. So to train for it takes like, you need to change focus almost entirely. It feels like anyway, because when we're in the woods, we're what? You're like second, third gear maybe.
Yeah.
And then you have this comfort of trees. I don't like, for us, that's like, that's nice. But as soon as there's no trees, you're like, what? So, and then get on the gas and go that fast. Like I was like, what happened? It's just, it feels so, so alien. So I knew I was going to have to train for it. I figured I was going to have to be in the best shape of my life. I figured I needed to talk to finally a sports psych, because I don't want to go there and blow it, because mentally I'm not together. So it was like the big push for me to finally do those things. And then Lee was awesome, and he's like, yeah, sure, we'll talk next year. So then the following, I said, you know what, screw it. I'm going to do 2021, I'm going to make that my goal. I'm going to do it. Started training for it, and then COVID. That definitely took the wind out of my sails a little bit, because it was hard to train for it. You couldn't even really go to the track for a while there. I don't know, like I couldn't put in the solid training that I wanted to at the time. And, but like, I'm really fortunate, because some of my, like my one of my really good friends is Melissa Harton, and she's gone twice. Mm-hmm. So I definitely, I get to pull a lot of info from her, and she pushes me all the time when we ride. So I try to use her experience and kind of her wisdom when it comes to that kind of stuff. And she's such a smooth rider. Like, she's so consistent and smooth. And when you watch her ride, you're like, it looks like nothing's hard. And then you're like, how? But I use that as that inspiration and that motivation to get better. So she's really good at kind of being like, ride my coattails, let's go.
Yeah.
And I'll train with her a lot. But ever since we've been allowed to go back to to the track, and I was planning to go for 2021. We've been training a lot. I've been working with Shane Cuthbertson, doing like a gym program at home. We talk a lot about kind of like what we're going to do when we're riding and like how we're going to approach it. But like now we're just starting to get a chance to go to the track again. So we'll see how this summer goes. I made the team for this year, but I had to pull out of it. Because I'm a nurse, I can't, there's no room for interpretation when it comes to me isolating and keeping my patients safe when I go to work. I don't want to go too far on that, but like I have a different kind of responsibility, I feel like. Going there with COVID, the costs were starting to get crazy. So I don't like to quit, so I just pushed it. I just said, you know what, like I can't afford this anymore. I'm going to have to do it next year, but I'm doing it next year. But it was great confidence wise to know that I made the team, but I was kind of like, you know what, I had to do a lot of soul searching and kind of figure out like, hey, I'm not being pushed this way right now. The timing's wrong.
Yeah.
I think I need to focus on other things. Cause I literally had to buy a bike in September to send, cause the bike I ride they don't have it in Italy.
Okay.
I can't rent it. And then right now you might have to rent bikes and you know, whatever.
Rent them. You can't guarantee that it's going to get shipped.
Well, exactly. It might not make it on time. So once we start, like, freight issues were coming up and Josh might not be able to come be my support person. And I'm like, well, what do I want out of this experience? Right. And I think having my support person be there is important to me.
Thanks.
Right. Like what experience do I want to have? And like, I don't think we're even going to be able to walk around like and see Italy.
Yeah.
And it's funny, but since my celiac diagnosis back in like 2011, I haven't really traveled anywhere.
Okay.
So I was really looking forward to an opportunity to see a new country, and Italy is on top of my list. So I'm really bummed, but
I'm confident that celiac is an Italian word.
Well, and they also really have a lot of alternatives. So I was like, I can eat in this country. I'm bummed because I think the riding would have been amazing. And I think the country to see it after, like to kind of go around and have a few days as like a vacation would have been so incredible. But I think sometimes it's just not the right time.
I imagine you're looking forward to this year's race, like just racing around the, whatever the province, I guess. Like,
yeah, I really hope we can. I think realistically it's a fairly safe environment. I hope that we don't get too many roadblocks because I think people need to get outside. They need to be active and they need to do these things. They're good for your mental health and they're good for your physical health. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm equally as nervous, but I'm really looking forward to it because you get motivation when you're doing the thing.
Yeah.
Like you need, like it's great and all to keep preparing and keep preparing, but you're just like, I gotta be in it. Like when you're immersed, it's easy. So, and like, it's already hard enough being in Alberta when you only have a short season to stay focused. So I really hope for everybody that we can get some racing. And I think it would just be so much fun and it would just be so rewarding to go ahead with that. Like,
I think it'd be a good thing. Cause I'm confident that, it was the race at Yaha Tinda last year that laid the groundwork from Paula, my wife, to like decide that this year she would get a new bike.
Yeah.
You know, like she did her one lap last year. She was the only one to make it up the hill and the first one through the lap. She just didn't have the training or the endurance to do a second lap. She came in underneath the hour. She's like, please don't make me go. And but like literally once first place came around the second lap, right. And that race was over, she regretted it. And she was just like, I should have gone just to see how far I would go, but she was getting tired. She fell like 9 times in the last like 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the race. Right. Like,
and, oh man, we've all been there.
Yeah, everybody who's been there has been there. Like,
but it sucks when you have it, when you're experiencing it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we were in the lineup some of the other racers in Ladies Beginner. We're just talking to her, welcoming her to the club, you know, because now she's like going to be official and all that stuff. And then they were talking about how the two of them, their only goal for that race was to do two laps, right? Because before they'd all, everybody pretty much did one lap, you know, so.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to do it fast enough to do two laps. And then the podium was sort of like a secondary thought. And I joked, I was like, well, if you do two laps, you're going to get on the podium. Because like based off of this line of girls and none of you really done two laps, like, you know, so if just one or three of you do two laps, guess who first, second, and third is? Like, no, big joke, but.
That lays the groundwork though, right? Yeah. Like she's got the bag now because that's what it is. It's like, oh, I didn't, I could have, I just needed to fix this, this, and this. And then now you have homework and you go back and you start working on it. And you're like, how do I get more endurance or stamina? And how do I eliminate, like, and knowing that every race, you're just going to fall a little bit less.
Yeah.
And every race, you're going to go a little bit, or you're going to get over that thing a little bit easier, or you're going to make a decision in the middle of it where that maybe the race, the last race, you couldn't think, you couldn't even fathom that decision. Like, so I just feel like she, that's exactly how it goes. So that's awesome that she finished and went, man, I wanted to do another lap.
Yeah.
I wish I did that. Because that's going to push her in her going forward. So
I don't even think it's unreasonable. When she did her lap, like she's waiting to see if anybody else finished. Right. And then, mm-hmm. and then the decision was like, if somebody starts coming down that hill, you decide that moment if you're going to go or stay. Right. Because you might not need to do the lap. Maybe nobody else makes it in the hour. Right. Like, so we can just wait. And then, but like we've all had that thought, you know, midpoint in the race, like I should just find an easy out and make my way back. Like this is so hard or whatever. And the disadvantage she had is that it was right there, like at the base camp. Whereas if it was on the other side of the track, she probably would have had to like just say, well, fuck it, you know, I have to go. And then maybe she would have done it. Cause like I think she had enough in her to do it. Just none of us were going to push her. It was like, you know, just like as a parent with your kid, you don't want to give them a sour experience. And I sure as hell didn't want to, you know, beg for her to go out and then get hurt because she was tired, right? Like,
I think you have to know yourself a little bit, like, because sometimes it is the right call. Like, if you really are too tired, it might be bad. Because even for racing, like, sometimes, like, sweepers will have to pull you off. Like it's you're in over your head, but, and I think that's fine. You should listen to the sweepers, but, you have to know yourself, like, how bad do you want it? Cause I know for me, like I would definitely say like, you don't want to push people if they're like, no, I'm done. Yeah. They're done. Let them, they're not going to enjoy it. You're right. Like you said, you don't want to have them have a sour experience, but like if they're the type of person who's like, you literally have to drag my ass out of here. I'm not quitting, which is, I'd say I feel that way. Like, you just got to know your racer. How do they think? Cause you can amplify and support their personality to their best potential just by knowing that. So
yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I don't know. Like, we only talked about it a couple of times. And since then she said she wishes she did it. Right.
Like, yeah.
I'm just glad that she didn't get hurt. Like for me,
cause
I've been there where you're totally gassed. Then you have some time, like you still have to go. And then now you're like falling like on stupid things.
On everything.
And you gotta pick up your 250 pound bike over and over. Yeah. Like sometimes I know I've fallen, picked it up just to have it fall over to pick it up. And just like, you know, so.
Yeah. You pick it up and it goes back down the hill. You're like, no. Yeah.
Like, so whatever. I mean,
no, that's awesome.
There's a whole season ahead. She says she's not a racer. But like, so do I, but I still sign up and I still go and whatever. Right. Like I'm not chasing the podium. I'm just out having the fun. And it's like, and I do hope that we don't get our season canceled because it's in all of our DNA to socially distance on motorcycles.
At least a bike width apart, right?
Well, like we want to make sure that the other person is at least a bike length behind us.
Exactly.
So
that's I think, I know for sure, I haven't read enough yet about Second Gear Club, but I do know for sure that the AMSA, has a plan in place. So I'm confident in their plan is obviously basically just AHS guidelines,
yeah.
Which are very straightforward. And I think easily we could live up to them. But then also I think they're just going to run people like 10 people in a row at once.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I'll wait a couple minutes, next person, next row goes. So they're just going to manage the rows a little bit more, but beauty sounds good to me.
Sort of like Romaniacs, you take off and your time is recorded and then it's just your best lap time. Yeah. So
yeah, it just makes more work for Mitch, our timing guy.
I feel Mitch likes to work very difficult, hours and, enjoys suffering. Fun.
I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, I've seen it not going right for him before, and the misery on his face, you know. And he's got like another day of it ahead.
yeah.
Oh well, sorry, buddy.
You're like, it continues. Yeah.
So, I don't know if we even mentioned that you were on the AMSA committee or any of that stuff.
I just do race committee. I think it's
what
it's. Yeah.
What is race committee? Like, what is it that you guys do? Like for people who'd have no idea. You know,
it's like the easiest volunteer position ever. Everyone should do it.
Okay.
If you're going to the races and you think you're going to be at all of them or most of them, you just need to know the rule book.
Okay.
So basically if there's any kind of, if people are protesting anything or there's any decisions that need to be made at the end of the day, it would come down to the race committee making a decision on it.
Okay.
So that's basically it. Like you're, and if people have questions on race day, they can come to you because you know the rule book kind of thing. So, I kind of like that. I like to keep things, I feel very strongly about keeping things like to the rule book. And, I think, you know, keep things fair and square. And then when you know the rule book, you know, like that's basically it. Like you're just there to help make decisions, the hard decisions that sometimes happen on race day.
Yeah.
So, you're just, there's a group of you, so you vote on it and it's not a biased decision. You're going to have a group of guys and girls who are just by the book.
Yeah. So, it's like, when I was at the one MSRI challenge, everybody missed one of the punches because some flagging got down or whatever. Right. Like, so, but everybody missed this punch. And then, some people didn't miss the punch like myself, but the punch had broken. But, you know, we had a little indent, like a sort of like evidence that we were there
and tried. Yeah.
So then the committee, was basically disqualifying like tons of people because they didn't have the punch. And then they came together with the idea that if you had a little indent, so let me see your thing. If you had a little indent that qualifies because like they knew lots of people had missed just by the times, right? Like, So I guess, decisions like that would suck, you know, like, hey, you're my friend. You don't have the little indent. You're disqualified. So sorry.
Well, we've all been there, yeah. Right? I've been DNF'd. I was at a Shell Shaker years ago and it was the hardest race I'd ever done. I didn't miss the trail, but I didn't see this stupid freaking punch.
Yeah.
And enough people had seen me. And I'd been riding with them because I'd pull away and then crash, whatever. They'd catch up. We all knew.
Yeah.
But I was one of a very large percentage of people who missed it, right? And if you didn't do two laps, you couldn't fix it. Yeah. So, it's part of racing. So it is what it is, right? Like, that's how I DNF'd. I've only ever DNF'd because I missed a punch or because my bike had a mechanical.
Yeah.
So, but those are all parts of racing. And I think, again, when I said like character building, like you learn how to, it is what it is, right?
Well, you'll never miss a punch again.
Well, you try, right? Yeah. They need to be, you try your best. We don't necessarily do dead checks anymore because sometimes I think we are having, unless you can go out and make sure that they look how they're supposed to, like they're displayed how they're supposed to, we've had issues with that in the past. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just something that if you feel strongly about something, we always recommend like going to the AGMs at the end of the year because it's a democratic meeting. You can pass forward a motion and then have it voted on. And, you know, chances are there's a few other people who feel the same.
Yeah.
Right. Like, cause even say that DNF that I got, like I did the loop, but I missed my punch, but it kicked me off of the championship.
Oh, wow.
So I think people don't like, but you gotta, you, again, it's, you missed the punch. It is what it is, right? Like, that's racing. And I think we've all, a lot of us have experienced like shit like that, where, you know what, you didn't, maybe you weren't in for number one, but you could have been number two or number three, and it would have really affected your overall outcome. And you try your best just like everybody else, but a technicality got you off.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me too many times.
That's fair.
So, but you gotta, no one's getting paid to be here.
Yeah.
Right? We all go to work on Monday, or whenever, if you're a shift worker. But it's just like, what you got to know why you're there, why you're racing, what it does for you, and what your goals are. So,
have you got any advice for lady riders who are trying to get into, or who are trying to avoid getting into the sport?
Yeah, like myself.
Yeah.
I would knock off the lady part.
Yeah. Same.
That would be my first thing. I honestly, I would say just do it. To me, I usually tell girls, if they can, or guys, if they're starting, I do encourage them to take a lesson with an experienced person, to start them with basics. 'Cause I think it just puts them on the right foot forward.
Okay.
So, if you're local, I would just find someone in your area who could start you off. But other than that, I don't know, like, fine. I don't know. I guess like new to people just specifically for racing.
Yeah. Or just riding. Like, I mean, I feel racing is a huge tool in the riding process. So,
yeah.
And I don't know. I guess I just like, hey, we can just stick it down to new riders, I guess. Yeah. Scale it back.
I guess surround yourself with people you enjoy. Get off social media. enjoy riding, being outside, put your phone away. Like, I think surround yourself with, like I said, people who you enjoy, and don't be scared to ride with people who are better.
Yeah.
I would almost say look for people who are better.
Yeah.
Because they just by association, they bring you along. You get better by being in that group. Don't worry about being the caboose on the ride. Like, someone's got to be the slowest.
Yeah.
And embrace it. And just get really good at protective equipment.
Protective equipment's a big deal. Like,
yeah, and don't be scared to race. Oh my god, please come out and race. It is so much fun.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up here. Do you want to mention your sponsors and all that stuff?
Oh yeah, haven't done this in a, hang on one, yeah, sec, haven't done this in a while.
2 years of
oh no,
that's okay, take your time.
I absolutely do. I like, first and foremost, Cycleworks Calgary, they've supported me probably from day one. Allison, the manager, is amazing, and they build me up whenever I'm down. So I love those guys. KTM Canada, I would thank them, kind of a new sponsor this year. Fox Canada, they've been supporting me for lots of years. I really appreciate them. Canada Rail Vacations, they're a great local company. I would definitely have a look at them if you guys can. Bulletproof Designs, Rad 2.0. Mongoose Machine and Recluse has been a great supporter. Sosa Original, if you want some good graphics. Rhino Power and Matrix Concepts Canada. Those guys have kind of been around for a while. I really appreciate them. They keep me going when I normally wouldn't be able to. So I really appreciate them. And of course, Josh, he got me here. So he got me racing.
There you are. The big one. Yeah. So you said, you mentioned a sponsor there. And so I'm going to goat you into like the hottest debate on the internet.
Oh shit. Here it comes. I know who it is. Let's go. Are you going to ask me about my clutch?
Yeah.
Like everything on a dirt bike, it's a tool. And you use it how you need it. So, for a long time, I didn't have good suspension, and then I got good suspension, and I realized that everyone's been cheating, you jerks. I had no idea, but no, actually, I didn't always ride with a Recluse. I'm looking into moving over to the manual clutch, just because they still make a fantastic products. But for a long time, I have used the auto clutch. I have a ligament issue in my clutch hand. So I actually can't, I don't have the endurance in my hands to keep riding for a long time. If I don't have, it's the only tool so far that I found that worked for me.
Yeah, you do.
You still need to clutch properly. you can't, it's not auto magic. So if you have any desire to do anything technical or in my opinion, fun, you need to still know how to clutch. So, it gives me the chance to ride. I'm not getting paid to be here. So it gives me the longevity to ride more than once a week. If I ride without it, my hand blows up and it puts me out. I can't ride anymore. So half of the problem is that I have small hands. So the clutch reach is too far for me. And a lot of the things on the market right now didn't work. So I think for 95% of the styles of riding that exist out there, it is a decent tool if you need it, especially if you have an injury or whatever your goals are. There's only a small percentage of riding that I think maybe you should consider the Recluse manual.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I want to thank my guests for taking the time to sit down and chat with me. A special thank you to you, my supporters. Without you, this would not be possible. If you enjoyed the show, give it a 5-star rating. And if you haven't already, be sure to like, subscribe, and share. If this is your first time listening, I encourage you to take the 3-episode challenge. Once again, thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to find out what's coming up next time.